But just the opposite is actually true. God has a plan for our lives. He has known us and loved us before the foundations of the heavens and the earth were ever spoken into existence. We are not here by chance, but because of God's divine love and intent in bringing us into being. God has created a wonderful story for each and every one of us to participate in. But in order for us to participate in God's story, we must surrender who we are. We must die to ourselves every day. The Apostle Paul calls this the mortification of the flesh, so that we may live for Christ more. We must die to self, that we may live for Christ. Jesus proclaimed in our reading today that the kingdom of God has come near. See, Jesus is the physical embodiment of the kingdom of God because Jesus is God. He came physically to his disciples and communities of Galilee in the first century AD, and he comes near to us today through the power of the Holy Spirit in his word. He desires for us to follow him, to love him, and to commit to being his disciples. And that call to discipleship, that call to following Christ, is found in our reading this morning in his engagement with Simon and Andrew, James and John. Jesus, we read, is the call to discipleship. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, we read, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, we read, they left their nets and followed him. He then does the same with James and John. You see, Jesus is very different than other rabbis in the ancient world, and especially of other teachers in the Greco-Roman world. Teachers did not seek out students, disciples who would sit at their feet and learn. Students, rather, sought out a rabbi, sought out a teacher whom they could commit themselves to, whom they could disciple themselves to in order to learn. And then rabbis did not teach students to follow them. Rabbis taught people to follow the Torah, to follow the law, to follow and love God. But here Jesus is going to these men and telling them, follow me. That is a significant difference. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus had some sort of basic relationship with these men before approaching them and calling them to follow him. Now, we don't know how well he knew them, but what we do know is that it is Jesus who initiates that relationship. It is Jesus who knows their hearts, and he approaches these men. His voice has authority. And they drop everything that they're doing, and they follow him. We also learn that the call to discipleship and following Jesus is a call to service. Follow me, he says, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will send you out. Jesus knew the right words to say to these men. They were fishermen. Fishermen from the Sea of Galilee. We know from extra-biblical sources that fishing was a thriving industry on this water in the first century. We know that there were no less than 16 ports on the lake, and several towns in the northwest where Jesus lived were actually named for the fishing business. Bethsaida, for example, means house of fisher. Magdala means the fish tower. And Terakei means salted fish. This is a region in which Jesus was going to focus the early years of his ministry. Now, there were three monks at one time. They were sitting along the seashore, and they were each fishing, casting out their rods. And the first one realized he wasn't going to catch his lunch more than likely, and he was hungry. So he set his pole down, and he got up, and he ran across the water to the island in the middle where the monastery was. He grabbed his brown bag lunch, and he ran back across the water and sat down. A second monk said, "Oh my goodness, I forgot to hang my wet laundry up to dry." So he got up and he ran across the water to the monastery and he hung his laundry up on the line and he ran back across the water and sat down and began fishing. Well, the third monk was new to the monastery. He didn't know how strong his faith was, but he thought, if these two men can do it, so can I. And he got up after putting his fishing pole down, and he went to run across the water, and he fell in. He got up, and he tried again, and he fell in. And he got up again, and he fell in. And finally, the first monk turned to the second and said, "Shouldn't we tell him where the stepping stones are?" Oh, come on. This is a hard group every week. Mark tells us that Simon and Andrew, that they were casting their net into the sea. They were fishing. The word for casting a net in Greek is amphiboleon, and it simply means to throw something around. Fishing nets in that day were circular. They were roughly 20 feet in diameter, and the perimeter of the net was sewn with metal weights or rocks or some kind of a heavy material, so that when the fishermen would throw the net into the water, it would land like a parachute and it would sink to the bottom. And when it hit the bottom, the fishermen would either, if the water was shallow, dive in and pull the net up, or they would have a rope attached to the net where they could cinch it closed and bring the net forward. It was very hard, laborious work. It's a life that those disciples knew. And this is the language of fishing that Jesus uses when approaching these four men. To be his disciple, he tells them, you must respond to his call, and you must be willing to be sent out. To be thrown out into the sea of the world, to find people, to seek out fish, to live for Christ, and to share his love. But in reality, there is no net for these four men. They would be leaving their families, they'd be leaving their communities, everything they knew, everything they cherished, and everything that they loved, so that they could embrace the work with no encumbrances that Jesus was preparing them for. The call to these four fishermen indicates to us the essential work of Jesus informing fellowship in his disciples. And it is only within fellowship that Jesus can be properly heard, and that he can be properly responded to. See, Jesus didn't just call Andrew. He didn't just call Peter. He called the four of them at the very beginning to be a core unit of fellowship. And as you read through all four Gospels, you read that we learn that these four men really became the core inner circle of the disciples. But Jesus comes to us in the same manner, not to create nameless and faceless masses of people to love and serve him, but to form a community of individual people with individual names, with individual personalities. The fourth church that Jesus formed, so to speak, had names like Simon, Andrew, James, John, Nathaniel, James the Less, Thomas, Didymus, Thaddeus, Matthew, Philip, the Zealot, and even Judas Iscariot. And just as Jesus formed that early community, that early fellowship, that early church to be discipled and to be sent out together, so does Jesus call us together and form us together and send us out together as a community of faith to love and cherish the communities in which we live. We have been called, that is, we have been set apart by Christ to be his disciples, not disciples of the way of the world, but to be disciples of the way of the heart of Jesus. He comes to us, and he calls us. Indeed, John would later write, "We are only able to love God because he first loved us." He desires our obedience, and he desires our worship, and to please God, to respond properly to the gift of grace which he's given, we must submit to the authority of Christ. We must realize that God has drawn us to himself in Christ Jesus, not to live together in happiness, although we are to be together in joy and happiness, but to realize that when we leave the parking lot outside, we are entering the mission fields. We are going to our families. We are going to our neighborhoods. We are going to our communities to share Christ with them. We are not to live lives on our own. We are to live in fellowship with one another. There was once a pastor serving a rural congregation, and one of his most faithful members hadn't appeared for 3 weeks. So he trudged out to the man's cabin out in the woods, and he knocked on the door, and he was invited into the cabin. And he was asking the man why he hadn't been at church and checking on him to see if he was all right, if there was a problem that he was dealing with. And as they drank coffee, sitting around the fire, the man said, "I've just learned that I can do church on my own, that I can love God on my own." And the pastor very quietly took a pair of tongs and he pulled out one little ember from the fire and he set it on the base, on the hard rock in front of the fireplace. And together they watched that hot ember go from blazing orange to a light red to a gray. And the pastor simply said, "When we live on our own, apart from our faith community, apart from those who love us and encourage us, our flame burns out." And he took that ember and put it back in the fire and it glowed hot again. But when we're together, serving Christ together, we're able to glow light brightly and hot for Christ Jesus. May we, as a community of faith at First Presbyterian Church, love God together, love one another fully, and have a deep heart and burden for the community in which we live. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be all the glory. Amen.